Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Deb from Media Night Radio. As everyone knows, we have actor, writer, Michael Stoyanov with us tonight. We will be discussing his new film, Space Station 76. Television viewers know him from his role opposite Maya Bielik and Joey Lawrence on the popular sitcom Blossom. Michael joins us today to give us an inside track on his latest film, Space Station 76. Space Station 76 recently premiered at South by Southwest and is open in select cities across the U.S. Michael stars opposite Liv Tyler, Patrick Wilson, and Matt Bomer. If you want to know more about this great film, go to Facebook.com. With Space Station 76 is the Facebook page. Be sure to follow Michael on Twitter at Mike Stoyanov. Let's welcome to the airwaves this dynamic guy. Hi, Michael.
Well, hello, Deb. Thank you so much for the amazing introduction. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. So let's get right into this. What led to your decision to pursue acting in your teens? Because you started very young.
I did. I was living with my father. I was a child of divorce, and he had moved to northern Minnesota in the extreme boondocks of the country, if you will. I somehow found myself in a play at the local community playhouse, and it was a comedy. And it was all fun and exciting and a little bit of hard work. But the very first moment on stage on opening night when I got a laugh, I said to myself, this is it. This is what I want to do with my life. I want to make people laugh. I want to get up. I want to play other people. I want to pretend to be, you know, characters. And I knew immediately that it's what I wanted to do. And shortly thereafter, I moved to Evanston, Illinois, which is a lovely suburb of Chicago. And I took training with the Piven Theater Workshop. And this is a very famous workshop for kids and young adults that run by Byrne and Joyce Piven. May they rest in peace. Lovely people. They're the parents of Jeremy Piven, who I'm sure you've heard of. I studied at Second City, and I studied everywhere else, and I did plays and commercials and the odd TV show or movie that would come to shoot in Chicago. And when I was about 20, I moved to Chicago to L.A., and it was shortly thereafter I ended up on Blossom, and that's sort of been the story ever since.
Wow. It's a fascinating journey in and of itself.
Thank you.
Absolutely. What lesson did you learn being in the business that you've been able to carry with you throughout your career?
That is an amazing question, Deb. You really took me aback a little. I mean, I guess, like in any business, you learn to get along, you know, go along and get along with people. It's a collaborative art. Almost everything I've ever worked on, and be it movies or sitcom, TV, or writing, and, you know, you need to hone your people skills and be accepting of criticism and able to sort of work well with others. And I imagine, though I don't really have any experience, but that's what, you know, that's what a lot of professions are like, and that's what life is like. And I'm very thankful that I've worked with some really, truly amazing people, both in terms of being wonderful human beings and of being incredibly talented over the years. And I think I've learned a ton from them, both in terms of as an artist and as a person. And yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, that's quite a lesson. Well, there's always a situation where we're all searching for the same thing, and the lessons always help us get where we need to go.
For sure.
Speaking of Blossom, do you still keep in touch with any of your co-stars from your popular situation comedy?
I speak with Maya from time to time, and, of course, I'm absolutely thrilled for her recent success on Big Bang Theory. I would be thrilled to be on that show, of course. I think it's incredibly funny, and she does a great job on it. And we were very close, a lot of us. I was, in particular, very close with Ted Wass, who played Nick, my father, my TV dad. And he went on to have he's had quite a run as a very successful director in television nowadays in half-hour comedy. And I was close with Joey. I mean, he really felt like a little brother to me. And Mayim had a boyfriend on the show. And he and I were pretty close in age, and we were good friends. But, you know, Deb, it's a funny thing in our business. You know, you do a movie or you do a TV show, and you, especially a show where like, you're playing a family, you become like this sort of quasi-family, and you become very close, and, you know, sometimes it'll go on for years like it did in Blossom, and there's an inevitable sort of, it slipped away from you a little bit once you're no longer working every day. And I would love to see more of Joey and Ted and Jenna Von Oy, who played Six, and the rest of the cast. Maria Graham, very talented lady, a young lady who played my wife the last couple seasons. It's a funny thing in Hollywood. You move on. You feel so close on the set, the bond of creating, you know, the thing. And then it's sort of inevitably, like, people get other jobs and they move on and, you know. But that was such a long answer to your very succinct question. But I do stay in touch with Mayim and the rest. I would love to hear from more of, and I definitely miss them.
Well, see, you just put that out there, so we are putting that out there for them.
Let's have coffee.
There you go. See, that's how it works. Okay, so not only are you an amazing actor, but you're also a writer. Your credits include Late Night with Conan O'Brien, Mad TV, The Dana Carvey Show, who I adore, to name a few.
Cool.
What are some of the challenges that you face as a writer for, especially comedians?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for the kind words. And I guess in terms of the challenges as a writer is the expectation. You have to produce product, you know. I mean, I guess acting may come a little easier for me. But at the end of the day, you know, that's you're sitting in your dressing room sort of being in character or staying in character, and, you know, you're called to the set and you do your thing. And, you know, with writing, it's like, you know, have this 8-page scene done, you know, and it's definitely tougher. And, when you work with comedians, you know, it's a science, comedy. A lot of people may not be aware of that. There are formulas, and, you know, the best of them, like I've worked with amazing, amazing talents like Robert Smigel. He was the head writer at Conan, and Louis C.K. was our head writer at Dana Carvey, and Charlie Kaufman, Academy Award winner, was one of the writers. And, you know, when you work with talent of that magnitude, and I always felt like those guys in terms of writing, I felt like Salieri almost a little bit to their Mozart. Like, these guys, I think, are just brilliant. And it can be intimidating, but it also, you know, when you write something and they look you in the eye and they're like, that's good, that's funny, you feel really good. You feel the approval, and, you know, that's how you know done a good job. But basically it's about producing product. You have to put something pen to paper, as it were, in the old days anyway, and, like, you have to produce pages. And that, to me, is the challenge of writing, for sure.
Well, is it even more, like, how do you come up with some of the material that you hear from these comedians, though? I mean, are you, when you write, do you, like, think it's funny yourself? Or is it just you're writing and you go, oh, okay, I think this line will work? Or how does it work for you?
Well, a lot of the shows I worked on were sort of gang written, in the sense that you would you'd have maybe a germ of an idea. Like, Dana Carvey was a straight up sketch show, so you'd come in and be like, oh, I think a sketch about, you know, taking from the famous one of his sketches, you know, two, like, Austrian bodybuilders, and the head writer would be like, okay, that's funny, go write a rough draft. And then you'd go off and you'd write a 4-minute scene maybe about this thing, and you'd bring it in. And then basically all the writers would gather, and there'd be like a read-through, and then people would just pitch jokes for your scene, you know what I mean, to improve it or to make it stronger or make a little more sense, or, you know what I mean, oh, maybe there's a better opening for this, or, oh, I have a great idea for how to finish the scene. Here's a great maybe closer. You know, and that's on I know different shows work differently, but that is how almost everything I ever worked on was written, sort of with a group think. You know what I mean? The one person sort of has the genesis of the idea, but then everyone, because why waste the talent, right, Deb? Look, there's so many talented people. And I know that's how The Simpsons works. They all just write, you know, page by page, every episode is sort of, you know, you have all 15 of them sort of putting their best foot forward on every page.
Right. Would you want to try your hand at drama by any chance, since you are a writer?
I guess I would, for sure. I mean, I'll try anything. I'm just afraid that, like, you know, even my drama would come out funny, you know. You know what I mean? Like the and the producers, the Springtime for Hitler, you know, it ends up being, it can't, you know. And I think even the best drama, you know, they do contain, there is a level of humor in even the best dramas you see in terms of movies and TV. There's funny lines or if a character does something funny. So I would definitely, you know, if the right story came along or if someone was like, hey, would you write this? And we want it to be fairly dramatic. I would jump at the chance, of course.
Wonderful. That's fascinating. Well, let's go back to your acting now. Let's talk about your work on the film The Dark Knight, starring Christian Bale and the late Heath Ledger, as everyone knows. Lost him after that movie. Can you share with us your experience working with Heath on the set of The Dark Knight?
Go ahead, Ben.
No, that's okay. Was he always in character on set, or was it different, or was he just an average guy?
Well, I was on the very first week of shooting. We shot the sequence. I'm in the very beginning sequence of The Dark Knight for you fans out there with the masked robbers. In fact, I'm the first person killed in the movie, and we had a day of training. Like with weapons and stuff, and there were some stunts that needed to be done, and then 3 or 4 days of shooting, and I met Keith early on in the rehearsal, and then I didn't really have a lot of scenes with him. I'd already been offed by the time that his character entered in, but I was struck by he was like a lot of amazing talents and actors and artists in general. He seemed to be a bit of an introvert, very almost shy, quiet, absolutely so polite and friendly, of course. And he had just a wonderful, warm, sort of calm energy about him. But he was definitely, you know, he was on the quiet side. And he spent a lot of time, I think, inwardly looking. And but it showed up in the on the screen for sure, because, I mean, that performance in particular, but I was a huge fan of his whole life, his whole career. But that performance, he is just amazing. And I think that some of what I was seeing was him sort of having his antenna withdrawn and staying sort of in the sort of world of the Joker. And it paid off, because, I mean, he was so amazing. And he is definitely missed in Hollywood and by the world at large.
Oh, absolutely. Do you think that his portrayal of the Joker, do you think that he was more quiet because of his portrayal of the Joker and kind of being that character, or do you think that that is who he is?
Well, it's so hard for me to say, Deb, because I didn't really know him very well, but I have to think that at least some of it was him staying focused on this, because it's such a precise performance, and it's such, I mean, the character is so thorough, and he was like a laser in that film, and I think he was sort of staying on that edge, that ragged sort of artist's edge throughout. And again, I was only there for the first week, but I imagine that he was probably, while quiet and certainly outwardly as nice as can be, like in a very sort of intense sort of mode, probably for that whole shoot is what I imagine.
Interesting.
But a great performance.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so sad that he's not here anymore.
For sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you also worked on the FX hit show Justified with Timothy Olyphant, who is another one that I love. What was...
Not to love, he's pretty easy on the eyes, huh, Deb?
Oh, very easy on the eyes, yes. Yes, very, very much.
That's what they tell me.
What was the feeling like on that set? Because it's kind of a different kind of set because it's a Western kind of thing, right?
Very professional, very, they get it done and they get it done quick. It was it was an honor and a thrill to work on that show, of course, and I was lucky enough to be in two episodes. But yeah, that set, they just, they get it done. They have professional, a great crew and great directors, and they know what they want. And, that kind of puts the pressure on the actor because, like, you have like two takes to get it right. And, thankfully, I mean, I feel like I managed to give them some good stuff, and I was very, very happy of my work on Justified, and definitely proud. I only wish I did not have any scenes with Tim Oliphant, and I wish I did. But that's the only minor sort of drawback to the job. But other than that, it was great. I had a great time, and I would definitely go back. Except I got shot and killed at the end of my second episode. So. And other than, having a twin brother character suddenly appear, I don't think I'll be back. But it's a great show, and I was, again, really, really happy to work on it.
Oh, wonderful. Now, let's get into your new film. Your new film, Space Station 76, which premiered at South by Southwest and was well-received. But you're not only an actor in the film, but you have a writing credit as well for the film. What can you tell us about your character and how difficult was it wearing two different caps for this movie, actor and writer?
Well, it was first of all, an amazing experience and such an incredible cast and a group of writers. I'm actually one of the co-writers myself, Jack Plotnick, who's the director as well, Sam Pancake, Khalil Roche, and Jennifer Elise Cox. We wrote the thing as a play many years ago, and we performed it at the old HBO workspace here in Hollywood for many months. I was thrilled, and I found it pretty easy to do. Jack really did the heavy lifting as the director. I was there on set to do lines off camera for Patrick Wilson, who's amazing. He plays the captain in the movie, and for Marisa Coughlin, who plays Misty, who is one of the leads. I played Dr. Bot, who is a robot, a therapy robot, I guess a psychologist bot, if you will. And I'm, as you might guess, sort of a bit of comic relief. And I had so much fun doing it. It was an absolute thrill to work with Liv Tyler, as well as Jerry O'Connell is in it. Khalil Roche is in the movie as well. And it was a great time, and it really shows up on the screen. We just got actually a really amazing review at twitchfilm.com.
Mm-hmm.
Someone with very, very charitable and very, very nice words about the movie, and we're all really excited about that. And again, you nailed it. It was really well received. It seems to be an audience favorite. I also read somewhere that Twitter, that it's second only behind Veronica Mars in terms of positive buzz. On the internet. So, I mean, we're really excited, and we definitely hope you'll get a chance to see it out there in America sometime soon.
Absolutely. Now, can you share with us, like, being on the set, what was the funniest moment that happened to you during this movie?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's despite even when you're working on a comedy, things are pretty serious on the set. It's a lot of professionals going about their day. I guess it was surprising for me because, again, I had done the play with other people playing the characters for so long, being like so pleasantly and happily surprised to see other performances to bounce, because my character stayed pretty much the same through the play and the movie. But to be working with Marissa and Patrick, they were both so talented, and they like bringing new things to the character. Like I was just surprised and happy, and I don't know. There wasn't a lot of like. I wish I could tell you that like someone tripped over a wire and fell into the craft service table, and like Reese's Pieces went everywhere. But there just wasn't a story like that, I guess. Everyone was in a really great mood because. We were making this movie on it was kind of a micro budget, and we were getting just so much talent from all different aspects of the film, like technical and visual effects and art direction. I mean, the movie looks spectacular. It's, I don't know if I mentioned this, it's set in the 70s, and it looks forward to the future. But the tagline is "Welcome to the Future of the Past." And, I mean, it just looks beautiful, like a retro 70s film. It's really great, and I'm hoping everyone gets to see it.
It almost struck me, one of the pictures almost struck me like Buck Rogers and the 21st Century.
Yeah,
that,
exactly, you know, exactly. Or if you remember the movie Logan's Run, very young Farrah Fawcett was in that movie, among others. Yeah. And you know, everything in the 70s, as they imagined the future, was this, like, gleaming white everything and, like, little robots running around getting you your drinks. And, you know, it's that sort of thing. But it's really about people and this, like, lonely little space station and these sort of interpersonal conflicts, but played as a sort of quirky, dark humor is what we were sort of mining in terms of the themes and the mood of the film. And I really think Jack Plotnick, our director and co-writer, he hit an absolute home run, because it really, and I think the fans, the people who are coming to see it are agreeing, because they're really, we're getting lots of big laughs but at the same time, people are into the story and into the characters, and again, amazing performances from everyone all the way around, the technical, the acting, the directing. It's been an absolute thrill to watch it come to life, Deb. I can't even tell you.
Well, it's,
I guess I just did, but
it just reminds me so much in the 70s, bringing back that era also. I love the music during that time. And is there music from that time in this movie?
There's some music. There's definitely some music. I'm not a huge 70s fan of the music, but I know, like, in watching the screen, I was like, oh, yeah, that song, and oh, yeah, but I know you will know the songs. You will know them better than I do, but there are definitely some big 70s hits sort of, like, sprinkled throughout, musically speaking. So
that's great.
Go see it, Deb.
Definitely. Now, just to wrap this up, what do you find is the biggest difference between acting and your writing? What is the biggest difference for you? Because they're both creative.
I guess so, at the end of the day, for me, again, acting is like the thing I just naturally can do and always have. I mean, maybe I'm the type of person who wears his emotions on his sleeve and has always been really in touch with them, and also had a strong imagination in terms of, like, playing make-believe, and that sort of lent itself to me just acting and it just coming really easily to me. It always has, like, funny character, crazy character, smart character, dumb character, bad character, happy character. I wear it like a comfortable suit, and it comes real easy to me. And more with the acting, it's definitely more work. It's more like, this is a discipline, and I have to sit it in front of my laptop now. And I'm a better actor than a writer, I think. You know, I'm thrilled beyond belief that I've been given an opportunity, you know, from a very young age and really all through my life to date, to do either one. Like, it's an absolute honor to work in either discipline. But I feel like writing, the difference is that acting is like something I could do in my sleep, and writing is something I really have to muster, you know, the discipline, and, like, I have much less confidence. I'm not sure confidence is the right word, but, like, I'll write something, and I think a lot of writers are like this. You'll write something, and you'll just be like, this is poop, you know, and then, like, you literally need your friends and your other writer friends to read it and go, no, this is great. And whereas acting, like, I feel like I'm more confident and more comfortable. Like, I know when I'm delivering a quality performance as an actor. Whereas with a writer, with the writing, sometimes I'm just like, I'm tempted to just, if this were the old days and there's a typewriter, and I would just tear it up. Thank God it's a laptop and it's just going into the hard drive and I can't tear it up. But that's basically the difference. One, it comes a little easier to me, and the other is work. I got to work at it.
Got it. Now, to take us out, can you tell us a joke?
I am not. I'll tell you a story about a person who's a halfway decent actor and has had some good breaks as a writer and an actor, who has never done stand-up because he's terrified of that idea, standing up in front of people and being like, here are the jokes and I think they're funny. Like, I'm not a joke.
You are funny, though.
You are in conversation, like at a party. Like I invite everyone out there in Deb's world to come to a party with me, and we'll talk, and I'll make you laugh. But I can't tell a joke like, you know, three guys walk into a bar. I don't have the skills. I don't have the skill set, Deb.
You know what? You do have the skills because you were on Mad TV. You wrote for Late Night with Conan O'Brien and Dana Carvey. And as far as I'm concerned, you do.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us. We want to thank Michael for being with us. And have a great evening, Michael.
You too. Anytime, Debbie. Thank you very much.
This will conclude our interview with Michael Stoyanov. Everybody have a nice evening.